Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. We are here on a Monday. There's no UFC card coming up this weekend, so we decided let's talk about what we saw on Saturday night, a great fight card from UFC 314 that absolutely delivered the goods. We've been hyping it up for a while now, Jordan, and it came through. It finally came through after a few, subpar fight nights and whatnot. UFC delivered in Miami, and it was a great one. And, you know, we got some right, we got some wrong. But other than that, it was a good fight card that night.
6-3 officially, FatJackSports.com. So winning evening back on the winning side. But I think more importantly, as we were discussing last week on the podcast, was, you know, I labeled this as like a WWE type of event called Proving Ground. And, you know, lo and behold, like several of the guys that we had identified as needing to prove themselves in one way, shape, or another, I think did. So I think absolutely it was a home run event for the UFC. It lived up to the hype. The fights were fantastic, especially on the main card. And then you've got several options with several of these fights and fighters now that the results and then the dust has settled at UFC 314.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get into some of that in a second here. Let's just go through what we saw on this main card. You went with the under in the Krylov-Dominic Reyes fight. That went under very quickly as Dominic Reyes knocked out Nikita Krylov 2 minutes into the first round. So that was good there. Nothing big to come out of that fight. Then we got to the one that we had been talking about for a while, Bryce Mitchell against John Silva, and John Silva submitted one that we did not talk about. We did not talk about a possible submission. We kind of just glazed over it. The prop of the night was the knockout. You also recommended knockout on the show. We threw John Silva into our parlay, but definitely did not see a submission coming. And the way that fight was going, Silva was a favorite for a little bit, and then Bryce Mitchell was landing some takedowns, and then Silva would get up and, you know, hit him with a couple shots, and then Mitchell would try to go for another takedown and had some control for a little bit. But ultimately, Silva gets a hold of the neck and just completely choked out Bryce Mitchell.
Yeah, I beat him at his own game. Beat that dude at his own game. And I think it was a great result. I loved seeing all of the pictures of Bryce out cold, looking up at the lights, because that's what I wanted. So, you know, yeah, we did want it to be a knockout. We had talked about that being the prop of the night. I didn't officially release that as a Fat Jack selection. I think I talked about it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, I was worried we were going to run into a situation where Bryce Mitchell was going to, you know, kind of just hold him down for three rounds. And at times it looked like we could be landing in that direction, but dude gets served, thankfully, for that. You know, I may or may not have been watching that fight while at my Passover Seder, which maybe adds a little bit of
I think that you would have been okay. Like, I don't think you would have gotten knocked for that one. You know, I don't think you're getting demerits for that one, right? Like, I think it's understood that, you know, whatever you believe in is smiling down on you going, yeah, I'll allow that. Yeah. I'll allow this one. It was funny. You were watching that way, probably checking just like whether you're watching it on your phone or checking the Fight Center just to see how it was going. I didn't pay for this pay-per-view. So what I do is I usually just scroll through TikTok Live and try to find someone that's streaming it. And what you'll get is on TikTok, when you're trying to find an illegal stream, essentially, of these fights, is you'll get a lot of people that are doing essentially their own live commentary, right? So they're saying, you know, oh, Silva just landed a quick jab. There's another quick jab by Silva. Mitchell just tried to do a takedown. That's not what I found, Jordan. What I found was a guy who was on TikTok Live. He had sunglasses on and had the phone so close to his face that not only could you see basically inside his nose, but you could see the reflection of the TV in his sunglasses.
And
that's how he was streaming the fight. So I watched the John Silva choke out of Bryce Mitchell through someone's sunglasses on TikTok. And then afterwards, I was like, I don't care about the rest of this card. I got what I wanted. John Silva came through. He, you know, went through on the parlay, so didn't get the prop of the night. But the extent I went to make sure that John Silva won that fight was watching it on a reflection on someone's sunglasses on TikTok.
Dedication to your craft, my friend. Dedication to your craft. Happy with the result. You know, we don't have to get into.
So what's again. Next? What's next for Silva?
Well, that's the thing. And so Silva now 5-0 in the UFC, 5 finishes. Someone I saw on ESPN, actually, and on ESPN.com, Brett Okamoto, threw out Dan Ige, who was also victorious on the prelims, controversially, but still nonetheless victorious. I mean, end of the day, John Silva, we talked about this, and this one, he was one of the proving ground guys. He's a star. He is a star. His antics leading into the fight, the fact that this probably became, if not the most high profile fight on the card, it was number 2. And he's got to fight somebody in the top 10 next. He really does. Again, the fighting nerds win again, although they actually won on the prelims too. And this is, yeah. I'll have to get to the story actually quickly at some point before we wrap up the podcast. But yeah, I mean, he's got to fight somebody in the top 10. He's got to fight somebody in the top 10. It's got to be on a pay-per-view or maybe the co-main event of a fight night card. But he needs a high-profile fight to see if this guy is legitimately a top contender. Because look, in 2 weeks, you're doing the same thing with Carlos Prates, you know, stepping in, and now he's fighting in the main event against Ian Machado Gary, who is considered, you know, a top 5 welterweight. So the fight nerds need to be put to the test now that they're winning so many of these fights. That's what I would like to see. And Bryce Mitchell, I don't give a fuck what that guy does. You know, again, Dana White kind of backtracking a little bit also in the post fight and saying, oh, well, you know, he put himself out there. I mean, you're giving him the platform. So. Yeah. We'll see where he goes, but I don't need to see that guy fight again in the UFC if that's the direction they take.
No, absolutely not.
It won't
not.
Be because people care about him, but
But he's not going to get, you know, he's the more you lose, he's just going to get lower and lower. Like, he might win his next fight, but he's not going to get another legit shot at anything anytime soon because he lost.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, but he was giving up his spot. I mean, he was in the rankings. John Silva wasn't. So they replaced each other in the rankings now. And I think we know who Bryce Mitchell is. Bryce Mitchell is going to beat guys that he could take down and submit and have that advantage. But when you get into the high profile guys that are well-rounded and especially can knock him out or threaten on the feet, he's not going to win those fights.
Yeah. The next one we talked about, Patricio Pitbull loses his debut to Yair Rodriguez. Unanimous decision there. Any qualms with that one? How when it basically looks like every judge scored at 30-27 every round.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically what we said was going to happen. Yair Rodriguez was going to have the speed advantage. He was going to have the stand-up advantage. Pitbull wasn't going to be able to utilize any grappling. And that actually made us the positive night. We had that fight going in the over, which it cashed. And then we had Rodriguez via decision to turn him from a minus $2 something favorite to a plus 140, 160 favorite. So that was a twofer. If you subscribe to the Fat Jack, Yair Rodriguez, and quite frankly, you know, the antics and the talk that he was having pre-fight at the pre-fight press conference with Diego Lopez maybe means that those two guys are headed to Mexico City in September for a high-profile featherweight fight because this was as John Anik said, moving day in the featherweight division, and you had several of featherweights featured on the card. Obviously, 3 featherweight fights on the main card. So it obviously is going to lead to that. So I think Diego Lopez, Yair Rodriguez is the fight you probably make next for both of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be a good one. We'll get to Lopez in a second here because our next, quote, proving ground fight was Chandler against Paddy Pimblett. We deferred a little bit on this one. I know you backed Chandler on this one. I was going to go with the hot hand and go to Paddy Pimblett, who, you know, has been on fire as of late. And Paddy proved it. Getting the knockout in the 3rd round, just laying blow after blow after blow to Michael Chandler, just completely messing up the face. I haven't seen a fight that bloody in a while. And it was Michael Chandler loses. Paddy Pimblett proves that he is potentially the real deal and he should probably get not a title shot next, but he now should keep on moving up.
Yeah, he needs to fight somebody in the top 5 of the lightweight division, like a Dustin Poirier, a Charles Oliveira, a Armin Sarukian. One of those guys needs to be next for Paddy Pimblett. He's undefeated in the UFC. He beat pretty handily a former title challenger, and he beat him in a way that he wasn't expected to do it, and that was on the feet. He was landing kind of at will against Michael Chandler. Didn't, like, you know, take the easy way out, so to speak, and look for takedowns and try and submit him, which, by the way, I threw some money down on that just to, like, hedge a little bit. Paddy Pimblett would be a submission at plus 260. Damn it. Didn't cash. But, yeah, I mean, like, that's it. Paddy Pimblett is a star. He had the entire South Florida crowd backing him, even though Chandler's, you know, a South Florida resident now. And he deserves every ounce of opportunity that he's getting next. And it should be a high-profile fight against a top-tier, top-five lightweight.
And you'll fade him then too, right?
Likely, yeah. Likely, yeah. I mean, again, I still think there's holes in the game. But, you know, he continues to defy the odds. So I certainly, you know, credit him. I mean, it wasn't like he didn't look and had a controversial win like he did a couple when we were talking about with Jared Gordon. Yeah. He was great. And I wish it back. So speaking of him, so now I'm going to tell the story. So every single fight card, I always have like a 12-fight parlay, you know, thrown in there. Like $5, everybody I like, just pick the winners and, like, you know, I had one going for this one, and it would have $10. It got boosted by ESPN bet, so it would have paid $9,000. Oof. For a $10 bet. So, it obviously it's not going to lead to anything because I did have every fight correct, except early on in the week I was all in on Mikhail Olajechek, Sadiq Dumas. I mean, it's not. I don't think he's that good. I was on Olajechek. I like him. And then midway through the week, a respectable handicapper that I talk to all the time leading in, he convinced me that Dumas was the play. You know, so I flipped on that. I did release that at Fat Jack Sports. That was a loser, but the under did hit. But then on Saturday, like, morning, I've learned that OJ Tech's training with the fighting nerds.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't know that. So that one would have been a win had I gone with my original selection, OJ Tech. And then, I mean, I did have Chandler as the final leg of a 12 fight. So I obviously would have hedged, you know, completely. You know, And it would have panned out really nicely, but it did not. So anyway, that's my story.
That's the story of the parlay. See, I bet a parlay, and Paddy was the final leg, so I was profitable. Sorry.
Well done. And hey, real quick too, before we get to the main event, one thing also of note that's now is a trend, and we're going to pay a lot of attention to it when fights go on. So Nikita Krylov, we talked about him, hadn't fought since 2023, long layoff. So now he loses that fight against Dominic Reyes, just like Josh Emmett, who was on for a long layoff, Hafiel Fazeev, long layoff, Marvin Vettori, long layoff. So all the long layoffs are trending now in a way that you fade that and you pick the opposition.
Except
this one.
This one, where Volkanovski was off for a year after being knocked out twice. We did talk about that. How would he rebound from being knocked out twice? We saw how he rebounded from being knocked out by getting knocked out again. And then he took an entire year off from fighting, comes back, vacant title here for in the featherweight division between him and Diego Lopez. Volkanovski goes to the judges' scorecards, unanimous decision. Just look at this, these significant strikes, 158-63. The head strikes, 136-49. I mean, Volkanovski just, I know it went the full five rounds and it went to the judges' scorecards, but Volkanovski just dominated this fight with Diego Lopez. And it looks like the year off did him well, did what it needed to do for a full reset. And Volk is back, man. And one of our guys is back.
Typical Volkanovski fight, you know, again, yeah. I mean, all the credits due to him for being able to bounce back and showcase that championship form as one of the most dominating featherweights of all time. I think I could understand the opinion, and we were of that he was not going to bounce back, that those knockouts were brutal. It was going to affect him against a power puncher that we believe we still haven't even seen the best of Diego Lopez. And, you know, I certainly think he showed a little bit that he could hang. And I think for me on the Lopez side of things, like, he needed that experience. He needed that 25 rounds or 25 minutes, five rounds, and see what it's like to be a championship level fighter in the UFC. But for Volkanovski, like, he's one of the greatest, and he just had a typical Volkanovski plan where he was able to execute and then transition a tad or two when he needed to, and dominated from really start to finish. Now there was maybe what a knockdown, I think, in the third round, end of the third or end of the second, that maybe people questioned, but chin held up, and you know he's going to be defending the featherweight title probably once, if not twice, this calendar year, because that's the crazy person that he is.
Yeah, and that's the thing about him is that he's not going to shy away from it. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him October, November, something like that, towards the end of the year, probably take a few months off here and then get back, and they'll announce something, and then we'll see it. We'll see him in the few months. Anything else from this pay per view from UFC 314 that you took away that we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, you're right about Volk. I mean, he's crazy. So he'll probably fight defend the championship two more times. Two other quickies. I think, you know, Verna Jandiroba proved that she is next in line for the championship opportunity. She dominated from start to finish. But as we talked about last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago on the show, the greatest fighter of all time and on my Mount Rushmore is coming back. Amanda Nunes got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Pretty emotional, too.
Yeah, and said she's ready for another go. And we know that coming up is Kayla Harrison with that opportunity to take on the Venezuelan Vixen and Juliana Pena and maybe win the title. I would love to see, because, look, I know Pena beat Amanda Nunes, but then they fought again, and Amanda Nunes just ran roughshod over her. Like, if Amanda Nunes is right and she's ready, I want to see her fight Kayla Harrison. I do. I'm so intrigued by that, by that type of fight. You know, even though it'd be a long ass layoff. So we talked about those trends, but Amanda Nunes is like I said, I will die on that hill. She is on my Mount Rushmore of MMA fighters, by what she accomplished in women's mixed martial arts. And she could 100% cement herself even further if she came back and then fights either one of those ladies and wins the title again.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be a great fight to see. So we are, so again, like I mentioned, no card this week. April 26th is our next card here. So 2 weeks from last Saturday. So just under 2 weeks away. You mentioned it. Ian Machado Gary against Carlos Prates is on that card. Anthony Smith is on that card. It's a decent card. For a fight night after a weekend off here, but we are 1 month away from UFC 315, which features our guy Bilal Muhammad making his first title defense here. He is a heavy favorite too in this one. He is a -230 favorite here against Jack De La Maddalena here. I don't think you're going to be fading Bilal this time, are you?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I just saw an Instagram story of him sparring in a sauna. So dude's ready to go. And here's the thing, like he's a pressure fighter, but he's also handles pressure. And now the expectation surrounding him, even though he's a big time favorite, is like boring fighter. No one cares about you. Make them care about you, Bilal. Go out there and finish Jack De La Maddalena. Maybe even beat him in his own game in the striking department. But like, let's not Bilal to make people care. Because, you know, he got everything he deserves in becoming champion of the world.
Absolutely. We'll have more on that as we get closer to UFC 315. He's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. Make sure you get all of his picks, which went 6-3, at FatJackSports.com. That's FatJackSports.com. Get signed up. You've got the NBA playoffs are here. The Bulls are in the play-in. Maybe they make the playoffs. You got baseball and, of course, soccer and all of Jordan's picks there, FatJackSports.com. And we will be back next week as we preview another UFC fight night right here on the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.